and welcome to the Conversations with Authors podcast. I'm your host, Alison Thompson, aka The Proof Fairy, and this podcast is a fabulous excuse for me to have a chat with a published author about what inspires them to write, how they go about the writing and publishing process, and what effect it's had on their life. I also find out what tips they have for other aspiring authors. My guest on the show today is Ian Peterman, founder and CEO of the Peterman Design Firm. Ian has over 15 years of experience in designing, developing, and launching products in many sectors, and he has developed what he calls conscious design, an approach to design that improves and enriches on other classic design methods. His book, Conscious Design, was published in 2021. Hello, Ian. Thank you so much for being my guest on the podcast today.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
So your book, Conscious Design, it's only just come out, I know. Tell me a little bit about it.
Yeah. So it is super recent. The ebook came out just a couple of weeks ago. And the whole premise of it is to help grow on, you know, the human-centered design is something that everybody thinks about, but there's a lot of other things than just the people. We have planet, we have society, we have a lot more things to think about that we, and I went to design school, aren't really taught about, aren't really a focus. And so the whole idea behind the book is to really help people think about all these other things, like what is your supply chain when you're building a product? What does a supply chain look like? What's your social impact of the product itself? What about your brand? How are you creating your product and brand from the beginning? And so it's really just diving into that to hopefully get people to think a little bit more and be able to go, oh, well, it's, you know, I do want to create a socially conscious, environmentally friendly product brand. Well, okay, if I do, then here's all the things that I should begin thinking about. Here's the things that, you know, if I'm really going to do it, how do I go about it? What questions do I even ask? And so that's the premise of the book, is to ask some of those questions and point out some really good examples of companies that are doing it really well, and just kind of like, here's a little bit of a roadmap you can follow and start asking these questions, and you'll figure it out.
Yeah, that sounds really fascinating, because I guess you can come up with the concept of a product. I think, right, we'll make that, and then get halfway down and realize that actually it's going to have some huge impact on the environment or on society or something, or you're not going to be able to find the supplies, and then it can mess up your whole idea, I guess, can't it? So having all that stuff in mind and understanding it before you actually even design the product, I guess, is going to make it so much easier and so much more effective and efficient in every way. So what inspired you to write the book?
It kind of morphed. So I was asked the question, what's my process of designing? Like, how do I go about designing, and what do I think about when I develop a product?
Yeah.
And I happened to be asked that in 2020, and I just lost 80% of our clients because of downturn. So I had some time to think about it. I didn't have
an awful lot of books were written in 2020. Yeah.
Exactly. And so I started with, like, okay, what's my process? How do I design? And I created the pyramid method of just how do I do it? And then 2020 kept happening. So like, well, okay, I still have some time. This seems like something I should, and I kind of wanted to write a book about product development for a few years, but I just hadn't found the right, like, how do I make it unique? What's special? Because there's many, many books about how to design a product. And so that kind of just morphed into, okay, well, I have this process that outlines the conscious process. I should start writing about that. I should just put that into a book. Why not expand? Because there's a lot more. Because I literally made a little infographic was the Peterman method. And like, okay, that's great high level, but there's a lot more to describe here. And then I started on that path, and now I have a book.
That's really interesting. So you started with the infographic that I guess had quite a lot of bullet points on it, I would imagine.
It was actually super simplified, because I wanted just it was really a super high level. And that's where, like, okay, well, this is great as a quick, you know, looking, looking on an image on online, you can be like, oh, that's cool. And then immediately wonder what's beneath all of that. And that's where this was kind of the response of, okay, well, I know people are going to ask questions. here's a way to explain it.
So did you do a lot of planning for the book? I guess you had to sort of dig down into that top level, that high level.
The way I built the book, it's I kind of just did an outline first. I went through and, oh, here's all the topics, here's all the main areas. And I kind of kept diving down layer by layer. And then eventually I was like, okay, I have to write a paragraph. I have to actually write something, not just more bullet points of how deep I'm going to go. So it was a fun process though.
Yeah. And did you enjoy the writing process? It sounds like you really enjoyed the planning.
Yes. I really enjoyed the planning. The writing was the first 80%. Roughing it out was really great. It was really, I actually managed to, I did that in like a month. I wrote out most of the content and then the remaining months and months were refining it. And that was a little bit more tedious.
I know exactly that feeling. I've actually just beginning a week ago, published a book about how to write a book. And I was the same. I had my plan. And then the 80% of it just went really well. It was really easy. I enjoyed writing it. And then there was one chapter that just wouldn't come. And I struggled with it. And then the editing, oh my God, I edit for a living, but the editing of my own book was just the most, it was like pulling teeth. It was just the most tedious process. Well,
it's so, so different when you're editing something else, when you're like, oh, somebody asks, even just, oh, could you look at this email or something? Like, oh yeah, easy done. Then trying to edit your own stuff is like, man, this is way more work.
It is. It's painful, isn't it? Yeah. That's why you should always use an editor, I think. Don't do it yourself, because you don't want anything to go, do you?
Yeah, well that, I broke down eventually. I was like, I'm not getting this done. So I had someone do a final edit over mine. And there were just parts that I never edited myself, because right. I just couldn't get there. It was just so painful.
Bring yourself to do it.
I have to launch the book. It's been a year now. I need to actually make it happen.
Right. Yeah. So it did kind of get held up a bit along the way.
Oh yeah.
So once you'd eventually got it edited, how did you go about getting it published?
Yeah. So I, just for ease of access, I decided ebook was going to be our first way. So we just self-published it on Amazon. So I did that. And now, the print version, we're struggling to get that approved all the way through Amazon. Dear. So that one's causing some problems. But the ebook was pretty straightforward. Had to work on some custom formatting and things like that just to make it readable in ebook format, which makes sense, but did take a little bit longer than I was hoping, but not too long. No, it took a couple weeks.
Right. Yeah. That's one of the things I quite often find I'm editing a book where someone says, look on page 20 or go back to page whatever. Or I was like, yeah, you don't have that in an ebook. You have no idea what page that information is going to be on. So
yeah. And they're different sizes and people can change the font size. So all of a sudden page 20 is page 50.
Exactly. Like exactly. That. Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's... What are the difficulties you're having with Amazon with the print version? Is it technical? Issues?
We're having issues designing the cover. So the cover, we're using their template and it's still giving us errors. So we're actually trying to get a hold of someone in Amazon to try to figure out what we've done to get blocked, because it'll say it's yes, we'll submit it and then we'll get an email a few days later going, oh no, it hasn't been approved. So it's a cycle. We'll figure it out. But
That's strange, because they're really good. Their templates are normally really good and they work really well. And when it works well with Amazon, it works really well. And on the odd occasion when it doesn't work, it's a bit of a nightmare.
Yes, it turns into a real mess very quickly if it goes wrong.
yeah, definitely. Well, good luck with that. I hope you get that sorted out. But, what have you learned about yourself through writing the book? Oh. You don't like editing, apart from anything.
Yes, definitely. I do not want to be an editor when I grow up. That's for sure. Yeah. I learned, you know, going through and having to write down my process of designing it, it was kind of an eye-opening process of, okay, this is how I think, because it's very rare. Well, never actually. This is the answer to when you sit down and think about how you think. Mm. And so it was an interesting process that way, because, you know, if you're a designer or do you do anything else, an engineer, you just end up doing it, right? You learn, oh, this is how you do it. And you just do, because it's your job and you've learned it and it's just in your head, and you eventually get to where you really don't think about it. You just, oh, we're going to do this. Here's done. Okay. And then you don't think about how you went through the process or what you're thinking about, what you know, as you're going through it, you just think about it and answer the questions and do the work. And so it was, you know, a little bit of a interesting discovery of myself of like, oh, this is how I think. These are the things. Having to think about how you think is a very interesting process.
That does sound fascinating. Yeah. Cause we all have things that we're good at and that we just do. They're just second nature, aren't they? And we don't stop and think, oh, how do I do this? We just do it. I mean, even something as simple as, I remember when I was doing, I did a coaching qualification a few years ago, and one of the projects, we had to talk about how you make a cup of tea. And I mean, I make six cups of tea a day, but to actually stop and think, okay, what do I do? And what are the stages? And when do I know to do the next thing? And when do I know that it's ready? It's that similar process, isn't it? Of actually unpicking how you do something. And I think, if you're writing, if anyone's writing a book about something that comes naturally to them, some skill that they have, you do need to do that, don't you? Because if you just say, oh, we'll do this, then other people will be going, how do I do that? I don't know how to do that. So you must have to really stop and unpick everything in some detail.
Right. The go make some tea does not work if you've never done it before.
Exactly. Right? Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it must have. Was there anything that really surprised you that came out of that sort of process of analyzing how you think?
No, it wasn't so much any surprises as just realizing how you think. Like, it's more of, oh, this is what I've been doing. Like that kind of that just realization of, oh, here are all the steps. Mm-hmm. This is how I do it. and then realizing, okay, there's and also realizing there's a lot more. Because once you know, even breaking down how to make tea, you realize, oh, there's a lot more steps here than go make some tea. And the same, especially with product development, it's such a long process that once you start breaking it down, it's like, wow, this is a lot. There's a lot of things to go into here. And for me, it was also, oh yeah, I forgot that I knew how to do this thing. Like, this is, I haven't done this part in a while, things like that. So it's kind of opening up, like, okay, there's just so much when you look at such a long process like that.
That's something that surprised me when I wrote my book. I was surprised by how much I actually knew, but I didn't know I knew. I don't know if you found that as well. It was like, I know that. Wow. You know, I was quite impressed by the breadth of knowledge that I've picked up. And did you have that experience?
Yeah, it's definitely, there were parts that I was like, oh, yeah, this is, or even just not even remembering that something was a step. And then once you're going through the process, realizing, oh, this is a step, this actually has to happen. I should remember mention this when I'm talking to people, because this has to happen. So things like that were kind of fun to find.
Do you think writing the book has changed the way you do things at all? I mean, were there steps that you thought, actually, we could do without this, or actually, I should be doing, could be doing this a different way?
No, I didn't really have any change in how it all made sense. And maybe there are some things that I didn't include in the book, but not consciously that I know of. So everything I followed is pretty to the letter of, you know, what makes sense. Cause it's, for this is such a logical process. It's kind of an if then of, right. You know, if you want this, well then you have to do this. There's
you
not
have to do this. Yeah.
There's not
yeah.
a way around it. So yeah, I didn't have fluff that I had to cut from the process, which I guess was nice to find out.
Well, it means everything you're doing is necessary. You're not sort of doing things that you don't actually need to do.
I'm not so wasting
that's good
time.
To know. Exactly. That's always good to know, isn't it? So obviously I know the book's only been out a couple of weeks now, but what would you like to happen as a result of publishing it? Are you looking on it, bringing in more clients or positioning you as an expert, or sort of what are your aims with this book?
Well, I mean, of course, I would love it to bring more clients that really align with what I want to do, which is design products in a smarter, more conscious way that are, you know, more sustainable and more socially conscious. So I would love to be able to have people find me and be able to help them launch those products. And, you know, writing a book, there's always the expert kind of boost there of, oh, well, I've written a book, now you're an expert. But one of the real main ones is that I would like, you know, whether they work with me or not, is really just reading through the book and having other people go, oh, this is great, I'm going to go use this when my design work, I'm going to go use this. And, you know, hopefully people will look through it and they go, this is great, and I have an improvement, and it'll just grow. Like that's my real goal, is it'll hopefully help to shift designers to thinking about all these things and business owners to start thinking about these things and have a real shift happen in how we think about product development.
Right. Yeah. So maybe your book could be the kind of center of a whole new revolution in environmental sustainable design. Yeah. Kind of there's a word, something stone, and I can't
catalyst.
The touchstone, that's the one, the touchstone of a design revolution.
And it's needed, it's so needed right now, because even the average consumer is looking at whether the brand they're buying is socially conscious or environmentally friendly, right? It's kind of we've hit the tipping point where it's a need that I see. It's not a nice to have anymore. It's something that brands, startups, and big brands are recognizing as we have to be doing these things, because consumers are wanting this, and that's what they're putting their money towards, products and brands that do that.
Yeah, and I guess there are still so many products that, on the one hand, are environmentally friendly or made of recyclable materials or whatever, and then they come in a load of plastic packaging, and you just kind of there's such a mismatch here in what's going on. You can't be saying that on the one hand and then, so yeah, there's a lot of work to go, isn't there?
There's a lot to go, but hopefully more and more people will keep aiming towards that way, and we'll make a shift sooner rather than later.
Yeah, and hopefully your book can be a big part in that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So what tips would you give to anyone who maybe has a business and they'd like to write some sort of book around the principles of their business or the processes in their business? What tips would you give?
Really, it'd be take the actual time to, you know, sit down and think about how you think. And if it's a team, talking to everyone involved, because there's a lot of tribal knowledge inside of businesses that is very often hard to get out, because nobody gives anybody the time to sit down and think about, well, how do you do that? And so if you're, you know, trying to put that down, you have to pull it from everyone who's involved. It can't just be one person, because you'll miss things. If you're in a larger company, and also just if it's something a company wants to do or somebody wants to do, is just start. Like that's really the hardest.
Just do it.
Just do it. Like it's gonna help someone, right? If you put information out there, it's something that someone can learn from. So it's, you know, if you don't, then no one's gonna learn from what you've learned yourself. So I think it's valuable to do that.
Yeah, I love that idea of tribal knowledge. I've not heard that as a phrase before, but yeah, it might be you writing a book, but you don't know everything alone, do you? And if you're working in a company, draw on other people's knowledge and experience as well, so that you get a really full picture of what you're talking about. I like that. Tribal knowledge. Yeah.
It's something we've I've heard quite a few times, because it's, you know, somebody works at a company for 30 years and nobody really knows how they do what they do, and then they retire and it's gone. Like they've quit.
Yeah,
right?
No, exactly. So, all that knowledge and experience is gone, and or even just the day-to-day basics of how they do their job, I guess. If they're the only person doing it and they don't share that with anyone else, they're like, oh, how the hell what do we do now?
It's
so important to share information, isn't it? And I think especially in the world of business, there is still a feeling of, you know, well, it's mine and I need to hold on to it and not tell anyone else about it. But actually, for us to make the world a better place, I think we need to share the knowledge we have, don't we, for the benefit of everybody. And it's not going to put you out of business because you tell someone what your process is. You know, it's going to encourage people to come to you because you've shared what your process is.
Exactly. And one of the best things I've heard, because that is definitely a fear, right? You know, oh, I don't want to tell you my secret ways because then I'll lose all my business. And, you know, I've met people who are like very frustrated when people quit because they're afraid they're going to take that knowledge with them. Mm-hmm. And kind of the best argument against that I've heard is, well, why people do business with people they like. So unless you're a terrible person, they're going to keep working with you because they picked you, right? It's all based on you. And even if you train somebody exactly in what you do, that person is going to walk off and then do it their own way. No one's going to be you.
You're the only you on planet Earth, aren't you? And nobody else can do you.
You are different. So if people want to work with you, great. And if they don't want to, you really don't want them as clients or customers anyway. So let them go. And somebody who likes you for you will work with you. So that's kind of been my, I heard that. I was like, that makes perfect sense. Like, don't worry about it. Share the knowledge and it'll just get better.
Yeah, no, I agree with you completely there. I really do. So, the book's not been out long, but what's next for you? Have you got any more books in the pipeline? Put you off entirely?
No, because I love the writing part. I think I'm just going to get an editor sooner. I think that's the cure for that part. We have a couple other ideas for books. I'm kind of taking a break right now because I have other projects that are taking my time, but it's definitely something that I would love to do, write some more books and share other areas that relate to my experience. So yeah, it's definitely something in a long-term plan.
Watch this space, more to come.
Yes, exactly.
Ian, it's been fantastic getting to meet you today, Ian. Where can people find out more about you online?
Yeah, you can find us on consciousdesignbook.com if you want to just go straight to the book. And then if you want to get a hold of me, you can also go to petermanfirm.com. That's my design firm's website, and social media at petermanfirm on most of the major ones, and you'll be able to get a hold of me and find me. So it easy.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Stick to one name. It makes it so much easier, doesn't it? One handle
yes,
wherever
it does.
You are. Thank you so much for being on the podcast today, Ian. It's been fabulous meeting you.
Thanks. You as well, Alison. Appreciate it.
Ian Peterman for being my guest on the show today. His book Conscious Design is available from Amazon, and you can also find out more about him on his websites consciousdesignbook.com and petermanfirm.com. All the links are in the show notes. If you're in business and you have a process you'd like to share with the world, then let me help you turn it into a book. Visit my website www.theprooffairy.com for more about how I work with authors, and book your free call with me. You'll also find all the episodes of this podcast there, along with details on how to apply to be a guest on the show. If you've enjoyed this podcast, then please subscribe, share it, rate it, and tell your friends about it. This has been a Proof Fairy production, and I'll be back next week with another inspiring interview with another amazing author. Bye for now.